We'd be happy to pray with you. Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 2. We look at verses 1 through 11. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what they have done. According to what He has done. To those who, by persistence in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You have given us these words to encourage us, to guide us and direct us. Father, might we read them with a heart that has been softened by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, send Your Holy Spirit now to minister to us, to shed Your divine illumination upon these Scriptures, that we would have understanding that is above and beyond that of man. Father, that You would show us how these words apply to our lives today. Lord, what truths that You have here for us that You would have us to take to heart and to live out. Lord, help us to listen to You and to receive Your word and apply it. Lord, I pray for myself that as I preach this morning, Your anointing would be upon me, that I would speak Your words in truth and in power, and that Your people would be encouraged. Father, that those who don't know You might be brought closer, might even come to a saving knowledge of You this day, and that those who do claim You as Lord and Savior, Lord, would be encouraged and be brought into greater conformity to You and Your will. And Lord, that it would be Your name that is lifted up and praised and glorified, and no man's. Father, we come before You this morning to worship. Lead us now through Your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. This part of Romans, the last half of chapter 1, chapter 2, is really a tough section. It deals with the fallenness of human nature, humankind. On how, even though God has revealed Himself so that none can be held blameless, His divine nature, His fact that He is eternal, is all there for everybody to see. If you look at creation, if you look at the world, it's there to be seen. And we're without excuse. When instead we sin, we turn away from God, and we encourage others to do the same. Because of that, God, who is righteous, must bring His judgment. And here, in these passages, it speaks of this judgment. In these first six verses, nine times we have judgment, or a synonym, or a phrase that's speaking of judgment, spoken there. Nine times in just six verses. To think that these verses are speaking to something other than judgment is foolish. So I'm not going to try to, because it would be wrong. So we are going to look at judgment, which is not something that everybody gets happy and excited about. Oh, I've just been hoping to hear a sermon on judgment. Some people might. I think they're strange, but that's me. I don't like judgment. I don't want to be judged. As a matter of fact, we're told that it's not something that we're not supposed to do in various places. We're not supposed to be judging others. But first off, let's talk about what a judge is. And the word judge and judgment. As I've been going through, I've been defining some different terms for us already. This is another important one. First off, we need to recognize that first, a judge is a legal position. It is a position of authority where somebody is there who was to take in the evidence and then hand down the sentence. Guilty, not guilty. And the penalty for that. That's the judgment. And that's the judge. Now, a righteous judge is one who upholds the law in all things. Judges correctly, according to law, doesn't change it, fudge it, make allowances for some but not others. Neither does a righteous judge hold others to the law but not himself. And when we hold up that standard, we find that there is only one righteous judge, because there's only one who has perfectly upheld the law. Everybody else has broken the law in thought, word, or deed. Whether it be in an action that you did do or didn't do. Because if we know right and we don't do it, word tells us that's wrong. So we have only one righteous judge. And He judges according to truth. We see here. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 21 through 23. We have this very familiar passage. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, perform many miracles?' Then I will say to them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" How can he do that in truth? They said that we said it in your name, because God looks at the truth in our heart. He knows the underlying motive. Am I really doing it for God? I say I'm doing it for God, but am I doing it for God or am I doing it for Bruce? If I'm doing it for Bruce, and I say I'm doing it for God, I'm doing a little thing called lying. And if I'm not asking God what it is He wants me to do, and I'm saying that God wants me to do this, I'm continuing in that lie. And God knows whether or not He told me to do something. But the interesting thing is, you don't. And I don't know if God told you to do something. Only you do. And only He does. And He will judge the truth because He knows what it is. Don't get confused with the idea of American judges or the traditional judge where the judge sits there dispassionately and, you know, really doesn't say much, just listens to what, and you've got the prosecutor and the defense and they say their thing. Think more, if you would, as to a military tribunal or a Supreme Court where the judge or judges can question the witnesses and seek out the truth. Whether somebody else presents it or not, they can go and find it on their own. In fact, it's incumbent upon them to do so. That's our judge. The righteous judge. He's going to judge according to the truth because only He is qualified. It's His position. And when we seek to bring judgments upon others, when we look at somebody else and we judge them, when we try to pronounce a sentence and say, you are going to hell, you are going to spend eternity suffering, you are a bad person. When we do that, we have usurped God's position as judge. Because we don't qualify for judges. Because not one of us is righteous and upholds the law perfectly. So we've usurped God's place. We don't qualify. All those things listed, all these sins, these are the things we do. When you read chapter 1, these previous verses, whether we do it in thought, word, or deed, Jesus told us that if I just say spiteful things to my brother, I've murdered him. I have that in my heart. It's truth. And the righteous judge will seek it out and find it. And when we do this, when we seek to usurp God's position, when we wrongly seek to judge others, we run afoul of God's commands and directions to us. Luke chapter 6. Verse 37 says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. How we treat others is how God is going to treat us. If we are forgiving and merciful, He tells us, I am forgiving and merciful. We need God's mercy. Remember, mercy is the withholding of deserved punishment. You've earned it. You got it coming. But God says, no, not going to do it. In fact, I'm going to wipe the slate clean. Didn't happen. Why? Because the penalty's already been paid. Not that, in fact, the sin was never committed, but the penalty for the sin has been paid. Therefore, the books are cleared. Who paid it? Christ did. There are some people out there who say, well, you know, I'm not a Christian, so I don't believe in God. He has no right to judge me. He cannot judge me. You cannot judge me. And I'm not going to submit myself to His judgment. Well, you know what? It really doesn't work that way. Here in this country, if you say, you know what? I'm not going to listen to the judge. I'm not going to submit myself to the judge's authority. In fact, I'm going to declare that the judge has no authority over me. But yet I do something which brings me to the judge's attention in a negative fashion. Even though I say, he can't judge me. He has the power to enforce his judgment and to bring me to judgment. He will send officers to come and collect me. And they will collect me by force if necessary. And bring me before him for judgment. If I won't come on my own, I will be compelled. And whether I accept the judgment or not, I will still have to live out the judgment. And that's what the world is facing. Revelation chapter 20. How many of you know what that is? George, raise your hand. You should know it. You're supposed to be teaching Revelation. Chapter 20. The great white throne of judgment. Starting with verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that was in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Everyone will face judgment. We see that here in verse 6. God will give to each person according to what he has done. Then we have a description of those things. Those who, by persistence in doing good, seek glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But what is doing good? What is it? It's receiving the Son. We took communion, symbolizing our receiving the Son. You say, are you sure? Are you sure about that, Pastor? Yes, I am. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Christ is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we don't accept Christ and the work He did on the cross, we will receive judgment of sinner, of go into the lake of fire. This is not a good thing. Everyone will be judged by according to what they have done. What they have done, what have you done with my son? Is the question our Lord will ask. Except it will be the son who is sitting in the judgment seat. And he will know exactly what each and every one of us have done with him. Whether we've received him into our heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Is that true? Is that true for you in your life? Everyone's going to face judgment. It's not a question of some will, some won't, or even some that will get preferential treatment. We're told that God does not show favoritism. What's this little bit here about first the Jew and then the Greek, or then the Gentile? What you have there is, who received the blessing first? Who first received the more full revelation of the Word of God? It was the Jews. First they received it, then it moved on to the Gentile. First the Jew, then the Gentile. It's more an order of progression, not that somehow or other the Jews are going to receive preferential treatment. It's just, They had opportunity to receive the blessing first. And those who receive the blessing will be held accountable to it. See, when receiving a blessing doesn't free us from responsibility, it makes that responsibility incumbent upon us. For when the blessing has been presented to us, here is my son. There's the blessing. What are you going to do with it? You going to receive it into your heart? You're going to turn your back and walk away. Our Lord knows what you've done with Him, whether you've received Him or whether you've turned away. And each and every one of us here in this sanctuary, here on the face of this earth, whoever has been and whoever will be, will each one come before the throne of judgment and be judged according to what we've done. Have we sought after the Son? Because there's not one of us that can do it perfectly. But is it our heart? Is it our desire to best follow Him? That's why David was considered a man after God's own heart. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. But he was forgiven and received into God's mercy and grace because it was really his desire and purpose of his life to follow God. Judas, he followed Jesus for years. One day, he betrayed the Son. See, it really wasn't his heart that was following Jesus. He couldn't do it. It was more the money was what was important to him. The power, and he couldn't see it slip away. Even though we only have one betrayal listed, and a betrayal of which Jesus was capable of getting out of if he had chosen to exert his power and authority. But yet we know that Judas is facing damnation because that's what the Word tells us. He will be judged by what he did with the Son. I will be judged. You'll be judged. Our families, our friends, our neighbors will each be judged by what we've done. رحم. God does not show favoritism. It's the same judgment for all. If you have received Jesus, the judgment is not guilty. Because the penalty has already been paid. And you've been covered over with the righteousness of Christ. But if you have not received Jesus, the penalty is guilty. And the punishment is eternal damnation. Do you have room in your heart for Jesus? Please receive Him, that your judgment might be one of innocent. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You sent Your Son to come and be that living sacrifice on our behalf. Lord, we thank You that we can celebrate this at this time, this Christmas season, this Advent season. Lord, we come before You this morning and we give You praise. We thank You that You are indeed the righteous judge. Help us not to judge others, but just to judge ourselves in such a way that we will not receive Your judgment. That we will turn to You in Your love and mercy, and that we would be loving and merciful and gracious to others just as You have been to us. Father, we know that everyone must go before the judge. And we know that You, the Son, are the one who will sit there and receive us for Your judgment. And that judgment will be based upon what we have done. Lord, the question is, what have we done with You? May we each one receive You into our hearts and lives and seek to make You the most important thing in every aspect of our lives, always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.